Desire your prayers this morning. Once again, I appreciate the Lord's mercies to me. Now he's time and time again, he's proven himself faithful, and I appreciate that. I have a little thought this morning that I've shared something similar to this a while back, but felt impressed to share it again. So again, desire your prayers. We'll write the title on the board. Board, treasures in heaven. And this is something no doubt we've all thought about and we've talked about before, and there's scriptures regarding it. We'll read a few scriptures about it here in a moment. But I first want to consider the obvious that no doubt if we went around the room here this morning, we all could testify to the fact that we have, all of us have, some earthly treasures that we hold very dear to our heart. Many of them, I dare say, would be because of the sentimental value. It's something that maybe is from our parents or our grandparents or someone of such. Or maybe it's something our children have given us. And little things that we've stashed away that that no money could buy. I know I have a couple of items as such. I have, I still have my father's electric guitar that he played when he was young. And I still have it. And I'll never sell it. I'll pass it down to my children. And there's things like that that I believe God understands. We are human. That we're going to be attached to some of those things. But there is a limit, I guess you could say, that God doesn't want us to focus on those things. He doesn't want us to be so attached to them that if perhaps they are lost or stolen or such that it ruins our life, or ruins relationships. You see, there's been a lot of heartache and strife in families because of things as such. But I believe the Lord has us, wants us to focus on the heavenly treasures that we're going to speak about here in a moment. But thinking again of the earthly treasures, basically it's something that we are attached to, something that's valuable, precious, important, things. And they're things that are tangible. Now, there are, you think of memories. Well, those aren't really tangible. And those are treasures as well. But, you know, the older I get, the more I realize that even my memory is fading a little bit. And others will can testify to the same thing, that I can't remember some things like I used to. Some fond memories of things. I'm like, it's not until I see some photographs and talk with some of my friends or family and then it starts triggering some things like, you know, I think I kind of remember that now. But, you know, that's what happens with treasures of earth, is they fade. Our memory can fade. The newness will wear off eventually. Just think back of all the things that, especially for the brethren here this morning, think back of all the things you've had to repair lately. Houses, cars, whatever, appliances. These things, they rust and decay and they break down. And there's also some treasures that can be stolen. No doubt there's some here in this room this morning that have had things stolen from them. And that's not a pleasant experience. In fact, I had, years ago, I had what I call a little treasure. I kept it in my truck. It was a hunting knife that someone dear to me gave to me as a gift. And someone got into our vehicles and our shop and stole several items, and that was one of the things they stole. And I'm like, that can never be replaced. Yes, there's more knives out there like that, but this one was special. Somebody gave it to me. But again, these are treasures of the earth. They come and go. They fade. They rust. They decay. So on and so forth. But we have some treasures in heaven. That's a whole different story. Now, let's read a scripture. Yeah, let's read a few scriptures, in fact. In Matthew, the 6th chapter. And Jesus gave us some instruction about treasures. You know, I find this interesting. Of all the writers, or I should say a speaker, a preacher, such as Jesus, this Sermon on the Mount, he had some weight behind these words. You know why? When we start reading these scriptures here, starting with verse 19, Jesus didn't own a house, didn't have a car. I don't even know that he ever owned any animals. Maybe he did. I don't know. But a lot of things, well, he borrowed the donkey when he walked into Jerusalem, came into Jerusalem, rode on someone else's donkey. But many, I don't even know that he had a boat. He was always with Peter, James, and John in their boats. He didn't have this big fancy yacht, you know, that, hey, this is mine. But Jesus didn't have a lot of these treasures that we know and understand today. Let's start with verse 19. It says here, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. You see, I didn't just come up with that. This is what Jesus said. The things I was just talking about, even back then, 2,000 years ago, those were some issues that even other folks were being focused on, the things of this earth. And Jesus is saying, no, you better be careful there. He's saying those things will pass away. He says rather, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. What profound words that Jesus spoke here. And he spoke it from a depth of understanding. He lived with the common folk for 30 years there. And he knew what people could be attached to, what people could focus on. He's saying, there's something much more important here. There's something that is life-altering that will affect the rest of your life. And beyond that, your eternal life or eternal death. That he's saying, be careful. All right? He's giving a warning here. Lay not for yourselves treasures upon earth. Now, here's something, if we really analyze this, and you think about treasures upon earth. Those are things that we receive. If you understand what I'm saying. Yes, we may earn the money, work on the job, earn the money, we go out and buy something, but we receive it, we take it home, and we stash it away. But again, it's more the act of receiving on things here on this earth. Things that we store away, things that are special to us. But if you think about the heavenly treasures, those are things that you actually give to the Lord. You see? It has a total opposite meaning here. Treasures upon earth is focusing upon receiving. You know, gimme, gimme, gimme. You know, more is better. Bigger is better. That's the mindset. Well, treasures in heaven is a totally different perspective. Those are things that you cannot see with the naked eye. Can you see? Can we see our treasures in heaven right now? So what are the treasures in heaven? Treasures in heaven, well, there's many. We'll just touch a few of them this morning. I think of prayers often and tears. You realize the Lord, it says in the book of Psalms, He bottles up our tears. He knows the number of the tears we have cried before Him in earnestness, in prayer, seeking the Lord, pleading with Him for maybe it's the souls of our loved ones or for a personal deliverance in something, whatever it is. Those are treasures in heaven. God is keeping record not only of the tears, but of the prayers. He knows every single prayer we have ever prayed. Even if it's just the little, quick little prayer. I remember one time years ago, I was with, speaking of the slick weather, I was with one of my brothers and we were in his little car and I still don't know how this happened. We were actually going uphill and all of a sudden we're like, whew, we just did a 360 right there and we thought, we didn't know what was going to, we just knew we were going to go in the ditch and maybe traffic coming around. It was a blind corner. And all we said was, oh Lord, that's all we had time to say. And before we knew it, it was all over with and we were going the other direction. But we did more than the 360. Went back down the hill like, okay, we're not going back up. But the Lord even knows those little prayers. The little prayers we say to ourselves. Have you ever been in a troubling or a challenging situation? And maybe before you walk through the door, literally, and having to meet someone or a situation, you just stop before you go in and say, Lord, help me. Even if you don't say it audibly, in your mind you're thinking, oh Lord, help me. The Lord heard that prayer. That's laying up treasures in heaven. The little prayers, of course the big prayers. The times maybe where you fasted and prayed for an amount of time, that's laying up treasures in heaven too. What about the acts of love and charity to others? You ever thought about that? That the Lord has taken note of that too. You're laying up treasures in heaven. What about just an act of sacrifice for someone? Maybe you didn't have to do something, but you loved them so much that you gave something up just for someone you loved and appreciated. What about suffering for righteousness' sake? Have you ever been faced with that? Where maybe you suffered, you could say unlawfully. Maybe you did no wrong, but someone misinterpreted what you said or what you did as something ill towards them or someone else, and you suffered because of that. They made fun of you, or they harassed you, or they spread rumors and gossip about you. And you're like, Lord, I didn't do anything. Or, Lord, what do I do? And you start praying again to the Lord, and that's laying up treasures, you see. Because the other side of that is we have an opportunity amidst all these things we've been talking about this morning about laying up treasures in heaven. We could take a different approach. We could take a different approach and actually attack God and say, Lord, why did you allow this to happen? Or maybe others around us, you lash out at them with your tongue or your actions. And it's like, well, why did you do that? And all these things. Is that laying up treasures in heaven? No, it's not. What about the testimonies that we share one with another? You realize that's laying up treasures in heaven too? That you're sharing one with another. What God has done for me. You're testifying of God's love and His mercies and how He's helped you in times past. And that can be an inspiration and encouragement to someone else that is hearing what you're saying. And you're like, you know, if the Lord can help them, maybe He can help me too. That's laying up treasures in heaven. That's laying up because there may be years later that you're going to need that person's testimony. They got a hold of something that you gave them. And maybe years later, they can give you something, words of encouragement, inspiration to help you. You see, that's laying up treasures in heaven. But I want to remind us again, it takes faith to lay up treasures in heaven. The Scripture says without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because we can't see those treasures on the other side. Can we? Can you see your treasures on the other side that are in heaven? I can't. Can you see heaven? I can't. It takes faith to believe that what I am doing, living according to the good book, living according to His commandments, His teachings, His doctrines, His statutes, that they work and they are powerful. They've changed my life. They've changed others' lives. And they can continue to change other lives. But I have to lay up treasures in heaven saying, Lord, I've done as much as I can do. No, you're going to have to do the rest. I want to remind us again, that's focusing on giving and not receiving. There's a gospel song I've heard. Maybe some others have heard it too. It says, take whatever you have and give it away. You know, I think that's a good motto to live by. I'm not talking literally. Everything. You go home and you pack up every single thing you have in your house and just go give it away. Put it on the edge of the street and say, it's all for everyone else. That's not what it's talking about. It's saying those things that you deem near and dear to you. As I mentioned earlier, as our experiences with the Lord, that maybe there's some things we've struggled with for years. The Lord just wants us to give it away. Give it to the Lord. All right? Lay up the treasure. Say, Lord, I'm giving this to you. I'm consecrating this to you. I dedicate this part to you. I don't know what else to do with it. But maybe it is the literal side. Maybe the Lord impresses upon you to give some money, to give some time, to write that letter, whatever it is. Maybe the Lord wants you to do that as well, to give that away too. You see? There's no boundaries with the Lord. He wants all of us, not just the part we want to give Him, you see. If we are to live for Christ and live for the Lord, we must give Him our whole life. Everything that affects us, all our passions, our desires, our ambitions, our dreams, our disappointments, our confusions, all those things, take whatever you have and give it away. Give it to the Lord. Start there first. Then He'll impress upon you what else to do after that. There's also a scripture that says, it is more blessed to give than to receive. There's a lot in that. Talking about laying up treasures in heaven. You know, no doubt we have all known of wealthy people. I know I've been associated with some. And you know what's interesting? With all the ones that I've known in my life, I've worked with some millionaires. But you know, when it comes down to it, they're just as human as you and I. And in fact, they have more troubles and tribulations than I have, I believe. Because they have more to tend to, you know. But you think back of the ones, take for instance the ones in the Bible that maybe were wealthy. God blessed them. But God was able to use them. But you see, they gave the Lord their heart. They gave the Lord their ambitions, their desires. Say, Lord, You blessed me with this. Now how do You want me to bless You and bless those around me? You see, if you have that attitude, that's laying up treasures in heaven. That's putting faith and confidence in the Lord. That, Lord, I know You can guide and direct me. How do You want me to touch someone's life? That's laying up treasures in heaven. That's putting confidence in the banker. Now think about that. Basically, the Lord is the banker. You see, laying up treasures in heaven. It's like, Lord, I'm taking all these things to You. And they're yours, okay? Then the Lord can decide how to distribute them. Now think about that. It's as if it gains interest. The longer you leave it there, the more the Lord can do with it. Not only in your personal life, but in other lives that you can touch. You see what I'm saying? Give it to the Lord. Lay up your treasures in heaven, all your burdens, your concerns. All your love and your passion, give it to the Lord. Give it, store it up in heaven. Then the Lord can take that and say, you know what? I can do something with this. And then He can go and do, let's read this in Malachi 3 and 10. This is why the Lord wants us to bring it to Him, the banker. Malachi 3 and 10. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Now, what do you think about that? That's what the Lord desires of all of us this morning. He wants all of us. You understand what I'm saying? He wants all of our being. He wants our life. He wants our heart. He wants our passions, our desires. Because if He can have all of that, then all the other things follow. You see what I'm saying? Then it's all of our money is the Lord's. All of our things are the Lord's. Someone wants to borrow something, say, sure, here you go. Because there may be time I need to borrow something. Or if someone needs some time from us, say, sure. I'll give you some time. I'll lend my ear. I'll be a listener for you. Because there may be a time we need it as well. You see, it's all the Lord. Just giving it back to the Lord. Say, Lord, I'm laying up treasures in heaven. I don't see it stacking up there, but surely it is. Because before long, He starts doing this. If I will not open unto you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. You ever had that happen before? Where the Lord just pours you a blessing out. It's like, wow, where'd this come from? It's because you were giving to the Lord to begin with. You see, you were obeying His commandments, obeying His laws, living as close to the Lord as you knew how, praying to Him, laying up those treasures in heaven, and the Lord saying, I can do something with this. Then He'll bless you. And in the meantime, what runs over is blessing everyone else as well. You see, isn't that beautiful how that works? Hey, who else could design such a wonderful plan of salvation like that? Only God. I want to read a poem, and perhaps you all have heard this before. It's a poem written The title of it, I actually don't have the title. We'll just say, Only What's Done for Christ Will Last. Perhaps you all have heard this before. So bear with me for a moment as I read this. Two little lines I heard one day, traveling along life's busy way, bringing conviction to my heart, and from my mind would not depart. Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only one life, yes, only one. Soon will its fleeting hours be done. Then, in that day, my Lord to meet, and stand before His judgment seat. Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only one life, the still small voice, gently pleads for a better choice, bidding me selfish aims to leave, and to God's holy will to cleave. Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only one life, a few brief years, each with its burdens, hopes, and fears, each with its days I must fulfill, living for self or in His will. Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. When this bright world would tempt me sore, when Satan would a victory score, when self would seek to have its way, then help me, Lord, with joy to say, Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. Give me, Father, a purpose deep, in joy or in sorrow Thy word to keep, faithful and true, whate'er the strife, pleasing Thee in my daily life. Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. Oh, let my love with fervor burn, and from the world now let me turn, living for Thee and Thee alone, bringing Thee pleasure on Thy throne. Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only one life, yes, only one. Now let me say, Thy will be done. And when at last I'll hear the call, I know I'll say, 'twas worth it all. Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. It's written by C.T. Studd. You know, what powerful words. We don't have time to dissect all of it this morning, but you think of that phrase, only what's done for Christ will last. That means treasures in heaven. That means treasures that God can get a hold of, and He can make those treasures last for hundreds of years. Think about that. That's exactly what happened to the writers of the book of the Bible. You think of the Apostle Paul. He gave to the Lord. He stored up treasures in heaven. Now look what we are reaping because of what he gave to the Lord. Look at what we've received. His writings. And not just him. We can go down through the ages of all those that have given their heart and life to the Lord, saying, Lord, I'm laying it up there in faith, believing that you know better what to do with it than I do. See, that's laying up treasures in heaven. Saying, Lord, take my life and let it be ever consecrated to Thee. Well, you think of these, think of the Lord being the banker, the fact that He knows how to keep it safe. Have you ever told the Lord some secrets? We all have. Something that no one else perhaps knows. But we can go to the Lord and pour out our heart to Him, tell Him those little secrets, and guess what? That banker's not going to peep a word. That's something that's an agreement between you and Him. That's something that He can use, saying, that child is special to me. They told me their heart and their desires and their passions. They want to live for me. They want to give to me. They want to give to others. They want to live a life of sacrifice. He's saying, I can use that person and I can pour something out upon them and then they can bless others with it. Isn't that beautiful how that works? Well, you think of the heavenly treasures. You know, the only way, well, first of all, they cannot be robbed. No one can get them out of God's hand. Once we lay them up there, they're up there. But you know, there is something that a person can do. You think of Judas. You know, he had such an opportunity there walking with the Lord. But he started laying up some treasures on the earth, you see. That silver looked pretty good. You know, he's like, I could be a pretty wealthy man. He was already the treasurer, and so he's already familiar and used to using this money. He's like, I could really do something. Perhaps he's thinking in his mind, I could really work for the Lord with this money. Now, that's kind of a twisted view. But just think of all the things that people get in their minds, you see. They start focusing on themselves. What could I do with this? And the Lord's saying, no. What can I do with what you can give me? You see, that's where we get it all mixed up. But you see, Jesus, he understood all of that. Jesus knew Judas's heart all along. All right. But he also knew Peter's heart. And James and John and all those others. Thomas. Jesus knew them. You know, Thomas was a pretty honest man, wasn't he? He's like, I can't believe, you know. He was honest. But you know, the Lord didn't turn him down. He's like, come here. I got a special message for you, Thomas. Come look at the holes in my hand. You know what? Thomas gave to the Lord after that. You understand what I mean? He was willing to be a martyr for the Lord. Gave his life. But you see, he had to, yes, he had to have faith. But once he saw that and realized, like, oh, Lord, I'm sorry. He's like, I'm going to prove to you with my life. And he did. Apostle Paul did the same thing. Peter, all the many others. They laid up their treasures in heaven. Because they knew when they took things in their own hands, that I'm going to do something with this. I'm going to do something with my life. I'm going to do something with these treasures here on this earth. And the Lord's saying, yeah, you might do a little bit, but it's not going to go very far. And before long, that stream's going to dry up. Before long, that's going to get burned up. Before long, that's going to rust away. Before long, that's going to fade away in your mind. You see what I'm saying? The Lord's saying, focus on the treasures in heaven. All right? Where the Lord can do something with them. You think of the scripture says, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You know, Apostle Paul wrote that. Where was his treasure? It was in heaven. Where was his heart? That's where his heart was too. You know, you can tell. You can walk down the street. You can walk in the grocery store. You can walk wherever around public. And you can pretty well tell where people's treasures are. I don't have to explain. I think you understand it. It's just people, the things that they do, the things that they say, the things they wear, the places they go. I mean, the list goes on and on. I'm not up here trying to tell us what to do or not. I'm just saying it doesn't take long before you can tell where people's treasures are. You know, we're all writing our own epistle. You know, that's scripture that's saying we're all writing our own book of life, so to speak. What we do with our lives. The Lord is up there recording everything that we're doing with our life. The good and the bad. But it takes us in faith, giving it all to the Lord and saying, Lord, I want to be written in the Lamb's book of life. The most important book in the whole world. Throughout all ages, I want to be written in your book as someone that's laid up my treasures in heaven. Of someone that focused on the eternal things of life. And not on the temporary things that pass and fade away. Now, I don't want us to... There's obviously a balance to this. The Lord knows we have to live everyday life. We have to care for our families. And we have to provide for the church and for our neighbors and our loved ones. So yeah, we have to work, we have to earn money, we have to be diligent, we have to be good stewards and all those things. But he's saying, don't focus on those things alone. He's saying, focus on the treasures in heaven first. All right? Then, because later on in this book, in this chapter, Matthew 6, it says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For all of these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. So he's saying, it's obvious, we have need of these things. But he's saying, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Then there's a little bonus, and all these things will be added unto you. I don't know about you all, but I like bonuses. But he's saying, you first must lay up your treasures in heaven. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Then all these other things, he'll supply your need. You know, I found that to be true. Not just in my life, but I've watched people down through the ages. I've watched those dedicated saints that had deep convictions for things that God dealt with them about. That God wanted them to give here, to do this, or to act this way, or not do that. And I've watched them, a steady life for the Lord, for years. And I'm like, you know, Scripture says, mark the perfect man. You know, that doesn't mean someone that's perfect and never makes a mistake. It says, mark the perfect man, meaning someone that's wholly given to the Lord, complete, mature in the Lord. Mark that person and watch their life. As Apostle Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. So I've marked those that have given to the Lord above and beyond what I'm like, I don't even think I can give that, you know. But the Lord's saying, just give it all to me. And I've watched those that have done that over the years. And guess what? I found they receive bonus after bonus after bonus. We're not talking $5,000 bonuses. Oh, that may be part of it. But more important and above and beyond the monetary side, I watched the peace, the contentment, the steadiness, the humility. And I'm thinking, wow, that's impressive. And the Lord's saying, I got that for you too. You just better lay up your treasures in heaven first. Let me do... Lord's saying, let me add to the interest for you. You don't try to do it all on your own, trying to please men and to find favor with men, because those things will fade too. Men's opinions change, but God's doesn't. His law stands, his commandment. Here he's saying, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things I'll take care of. Isn't that a blessing? Doesn't that take a load and a weight off of your eyes, Lord? I struggle to do this and that and that. And the Lord's saying, just keep on doing that. But focus, first of all, upon laying up your treasures in heaven. The Lord's saying, I want to hear some more prayers from you. The Lord's saying, I want to see you giving more time to me, to others around you, whatever it is. The Lord's saying, I want to see you investing in the eternal things. Then he's saying, I'll start opening up the windows of heaven. And you'll just see what I can do for you. That's the kind of God we serve. What a wonderful spiritual banker, if you understand what I'm saying. He's going to keep those things safe. He knows just the perfect timing to give us that special blessing that we needed. You know that? You realize that God can do that? There's been times where I didn't even know I needed something. Someone mentioned earlier where the Lord knows what we have need of in advance. And then sure enough, the next day or two or whatever, I'm faced with something. Boom. But you know what? The Lord had already given me something prior to that. Only God can do that, because that's what helped me to endure through that trial. That's this godly banker that we serve. That's the spiritual banker. We're laying up treasures. All right, we're focusing, we're looking to the Lord, looking to Christ, the author and finisher of our faith, saying, Lord, you know what? You're the one that created this plan of salvation. You're the one that created me. Now, Lord, help me to know how to serve you better. Help me to know how to give to you better. Because I want to be a tool in the Lord's hand. I don't want to be a tool in the devil's hand. You know, that's what the Scripture talks about. I skipped over this verse. In verse 24, it says, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." That mammon means riches. It's not just talking about the earthly riches. It could mean the riches, the confidence we have in ourselves. That I'm rich in confidence, that I can take care and I can do this and this and this. Nope. You cannot serve. You can't serve yourself and God at the same time. Lord, help us to focus on laying treasures up in heaven, to give all to the Lord. And remember, as the poem we just read, only what's done for Christ will last. That's the lasting impression that we should all focus on. We sang the song recently, "May all who come behind us find us faithful." That's what it's talking about. We leave the lasting mark upon those behind us because we focused on the Lord. We weren't focusing on what we could, the glory, the recognition we could receive, and all those things and whatever, fill in the rest of the blanks there. But I'm focusing on pleasing the Lord, seeking first the kingdom of God. And in the end, He'll add all these other things to us. He'll open up the windows of heaven and pour us out a blessing. Again, only God can do that. And He can do that in each and every one of our lives, starting today. And from here through eternity, through the rest of time, God's saying, "I want to pour you out a blessing." And one of these days, we'll receive the crown of life and we'll be so glad, so thankful. You know, maybe when we get over to the other side and we're up in heaven, we can see those jars with their tears in it. You know what I'm saying? We can hear and hear the ones testifying of the things that we didn't even know we did to touch other lives. And we'll get up there and we'll say, "Well, that brother or sister, they're the ones that touched my life." You see, none of us get the glory. It all goes back to God. That's laying up treasures in heaven. And I want to be faithful to the Lord. And Lord, help us all to focus on the important things of life, the things that last, the eternal things. You pray for me that I'll be faithful to the Lord.